You're listening to Bison Report Radio.
It's going to be interesting to see how Richmond wants to play this in terms of what he does. If he does want to go out and try to get some immediate help there.
The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Menard, rushing the passer from his right-end position as a senior, and I think a legitimate National Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio from Scout.com. Here's your hosts, Ryan Burns and Ross Uglum.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Bison Report Radio podcast. This is going to be your preview edition for this weekend's game against Delaware. No major news since the last time we recorded, but we do have three fantastic interviews. Hopefully this week have something up about the tight end group on Friday or maybe even on Saturday morning. And we got interviews with all three of them. You guys might have already seen the BRTV episode with myself and Noah Gindorf, but we've got audio interviews right here in this pod with Noah, Ben, and Josh Babich, and they were all a pleasure to talk to, and I think provided some insight into playing tight end, all the different things that are asked of North Dakota State's crew chief group, having their guy, Tyler Roll, promoted to the offensive coordinator position, and the controversy, of course, surrounding the idea that the offense has been revolutionized to prop up T-Roll's position. Matt kind of saying that tongue in cheek, but the numbers certainly might shade a little bit that way. So before Trevor and I get into the big game against Delaware, the first road trip for the Matt Entz era of the Bison, we're going to go ahead and roll the interview with Josh Babich right now. Here with Bison sophomore tight end Josh Babich. Josh, how are we doing?
Good, you?
Good. I want to kind of ask you about Ben's role this summer, because he had some lower body stuff that he was working through, spent a lot of time in shorts and a t-shirt, and just kind of, from what I could observe at least, sort of just bringing you guys along or teaching and working with Coach Roll. What was his role, and how big was Ben in your guys' development, you and Noah and the other tight ends this summer?
Oh, yeah. For the summer, he was just, since he couldn't do much physically, it was more a mental thing, the leadership even, just teaching us, helping the younger guys, just developing our game so when we get into the season, we're ready and able to play at a high level. I mean, his leadership is just amazing. I mean,
how many different positions in this offense do you know?
I know each receiver spot during any play.
Sure. So what do you feel like you bring to the table in each of those spots? Or why do you think you're such a weapon? Is it your size, and how long did it take you to get to where you are mentally now, where you do actually know every spot in this offense?
At first it was just learning the basics of tight end. But throughout the first year, I started to expand more about like YFU, like our move guy and stuff, fullback in the backfield, just throwing tight end position group as a whole. And I think into my second year, I started to know more about what the receivers do and what I should be running on each route, just knowing the concept as a whole.
How much pride do you take in your blocking? Because I think of the three of you being you, Noah, and Ben, you kind of get the, I don't know if it's a bum rap, but you're kind of viewed as the receiving tight end because of Noah's strength and because of how much time Ben has spent in line. How much pride do you take in your blocking? And do you feel like maybe you have to improve a little bit to where you are just, you're on the same level as those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, I take a lot of pride in my blocking. It's just a big thing about being at NDSU and being a tight end here. You need to know how to block. And yeah, I mean, those guys are amazing. I just have to keep improving each day just so I could be on the same level as them.
Did you play wide receiver in high school?
Yep.
You did. So how much, what were you at when you came in, weight-wise?
About 220.
And how tall are you?
6'6".
And what are you now?
About 250, 255.
So what did the Kramer diet consist of for you your first year?
Well, he just told me to seafood, eat food.
So. Oh, the seafood diet, sure. Seafood diet. Yeah, okay. What's it like to kind of come up with a guy that has the talent level that Noah does? Because you guys are the same recruiting class, spent, I would assume, a lot of time on scout team together, and now
you get to be these two guys that are going to be synonymous with the new quarterback, in my opinion. You're kind of Trey's guys because this is the younger, you know, group. You sat behind Connor, sat behind Jeff, sat behind Jensen, and now it's your time to shine.
I think it's just competition, really. Just both of us trying to improve each other as much as we can. So when we go out there on Saturdays, we're able to play at a high level and just make sure we're doing what we can for our team.
What have you seen from Delaware on film? What are your expectations of this weekend?
They're going to be physical. They're a good team. I mean, playing the CAA, it's going to be a good game. That's all I know.
Last question. Any truth to the rumor that the play calling is at all swayed by Tyler Rolby and the tight ends coach?
I don't think that much. I mean, I like what he's done with the offense so far in the first two games, just getting all these different looks that teams haven't really seen maybe, and running all these plays that we haven't really run in the past couple of years.
So, all right. Isn't it? Thanks, Josh. Yep. All right, we want to thank North Dakota State Sports Information Department for making Josh available, and of course, thank Josh for his time. I thought that went really great. Trev, how are we doing, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful, Ross. Recording at an unusual time here for us, but we seem to always find the right time to get this done. So
yeah, that's it. We just got to get it to the people. That's all that matters. It'll give the people what they want.
It's for the people. That's right.
What are your recollections of last year's game? I know we talked a little bit beforehand about this, but that was really a game I felt that was billed to be a top-notch FCS showdown. I could have sworn Delaware was maybe even getting top 10 love going into the season, and this was supposed to be a measuring stick game for that version, the 2018 Bison. And it kind of didn't turn out that way.
Well, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. Obviously, you had a different breed with the 2018 Bison. Obviously, going undefeated, winning a national championship, all that good stuff. Honestly, I remember a fairly boring contest. I mean, it was, what, 28-0 in the first quarter. I believe 35-0 at half. Jabril Cox coming out party, so to speak. I mean, it wasn't a secret of how good or how talented he was, but I think it really showed early in that game. And I remember an interview, can't remember who did that, with Vince Papale on the sideline. I thought that was pretty cool because I'm a big fan of his story. So, I mean, other than that, like you said, it wasn't real exciting or what it was built up to be. So I think people are hesitant to do that again this year, but nonetheless, you got a road game against a more formidable opponent from what we've seen the past 2 weeks. Anything can happen on any given Saturday. So I guess we'll see if it's more of the same as 2018 or if it's maybe a little bit more of a what you would think from a CAA and Missouri Valley matchup.
Yeah, I'll never forget the feeling of that game when I mean, I felt, and I think this is pretty accurate, that it ended about 3 minutes in. it was homecoming, you know, which is kind of weird to not have homecoming against a conference opponent, but it was homecoming nonetheless. And the Bison, I think, take their opening drive down. I think Easton scores a touchdown, kick the ball off. And I think it was a touchback. And the first play from scrimmage for Delaware, Pat Kehoe throws Jabril Cox a 36-yard pick six. And the ball game's over. You know, if you're not coming back from 14 down against the Bison, especially not the way that Delaware was built, frankly, the way that Delaware is built, I think it was just a rough look for them. And the Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking. And they really, really did. They let the Fargo Dome get completely rocking. The noise level was high, and they were supposed to be better. And honestly, it was a bit of a disappointment because you hope, you know, for the case of good football, you're hoping that there's not such a huge divide between, you know, between North Dakota State and their opponents. You hope that when you schedule a top 10 opponent to come to Fargo, that you provide some entertainment for your fans. And sure, it's fun. I mean, the place went nuts after the Jabril Cox touchdown, but just difficult, I think, to find a way to schedule these games that are going to be a little bit more serious, I guess. Let's talk about this year's Delaware team a little bit. 31-13 victory over Delaware State. Delaware State's what I call a 70-0 school. I mean, that's Delaware. Right. Delaware State's a team that will come to Fargo and the Bison would hang 10 touchdowns on them. I think they almost did one year. I think Delaware State might have been the victim on one of the college game day Saturdays when ESPN was in town.
Yep, that was the could even have it mixed up. I can't remember which one it was. So we had what, Incarnate Word and Delaware State?
Something like that, right? But it was a
maybe it was the other way around. But that wasn't much of a contest there. And I thought the same thing when I looked at Delaware's schedule. You know, they win that game. It wasn't a blowout by any means. And then they win the triple overtime on the road at Rhode Island. Not exactly what I expected when I was looking at some of their rankings and some of their social information. I thought I was under the impression that those two games were a lot wider in terms of margin of victory from what I saw. So that did not give me, I guess, hope in terms of a closed game. It's not that I'm looking for, but it would be fun to see this young group get challenged in a way that we haven't seen yet. And I think we will eventually, but I'm not overly positive that that'll happen yet, because I think that'll be necessary in terms of their long-term development, whether you get in a battle in the playoffs or you have some adversity, knock on wood, maybe like an injury or something. But you're going to get challenged and you're going to get tested at some point, and it's going to be how do you respond. And if that happens in Newark this weekend, I'm not really leaning on that side of the fence.
Yeah, 51-0 was the baptism that NDSU gave Delaware State back in 2013 when they hosted College Game Day. I want to ask you before we get to Ben's interview here. I want to ask you, what is it about? Because you guys, what was your record? I know you know this. What was your record as a Bison?
We were 58-3 the 4 years that we played.
And was it two or three of those losses that came at home?
Two of them.
Right, because Iowa. Yeah.
Northern Iowa. So I don't want to talk about that too much. No, it gives me bad memories.
we won't, but I mean, Mike McCarthy was the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and he said every year that his goal was to go 8-0 at Lambeau Field and split on the road, 4-4. Then you're 12-4, you're probably a division champion, and you're probably hosting a playoff game.
Right.
That's kind of the goal, right? Even for good football teams, is to split or do a little bit better than splitting on the road. I would say that there was a majority of your games played at home just because that's the way that NDSU's out-of-conference schedule went. But just off the top of my head, I would say you probably went 24-1, 25-1, 26-1 on the road.
Right, yeah. So we only had that Northern Iowa loss. It was late in the season. I want to say it was like week 9 or 10. And of course ended our win streak. And that was the only game we really got beat out of the gym, because the first two losses, 2011 and 2012, were both by 3 points. Of course, that was Youngstown in 11 and Indiana State in 12. Then the third one came to Northern Iowa on the road. And then we only had one more road game after that at Missouri State, and Carson lit it up for something like 3 bills and 5 touchdowns. And of course, there's the playoffs after that. So, we always felt confidence on the road. I always enjoyed road trips, to be honest. I enjoyed every Saturday, but at times it felt like we played better on the road, which is kind of unusual.
And I want to kind of dive into that a little bit, because there's a business trip mentality that North Dakota State brings, and it almost gets made fun of, where every road game for every football team is a business trip. But there has been talk about Kleiman, Entz, but talk from Kleiman and Entz, that this was just something where you guys were able to get into a mentality. Most of the time, not that NDSU doesn't travel well, but they don't necessarily travel to conference games well. You know, there's not a ton of them in Macomb. You're playing in front of pretty much your parents. And it's just you and your brothers out there. And that is something that an us against the world mentality, like you guys were able to get super locked in. What do you think led into that absurd road record and that mentality?
I don't think there's one certain thing you can pinpoint to be like, hey, here's the secret to doing that. But number one, it's just getting in a rhythm, finding out what works for the culture and what works for you individually to be able to keep it as consistent as possible. Just because we approached every day like that. So when you have all these changes and adjustments, getting on a plane, you know, and if you land somewhere that's an hour away and you got to bus to your hotel and then you got to bus 40 minutes to the game, what in your routine can stay consistent with what you would do on a typical home game to make sure those are in line? And I think once you develop that, it's just, it becomes a habit and you know that it works and it's just part of your formula and your DNA. And then young guys come in, they learn from it and they try to mimic it, tailor it to their own specific style. And you go in, you win the game, you go home. And that's kind of it. We had a, the way we approached it is we really thought of, we could play anybody, anytime, anywhere. Didn't matter if it was a parking lot, didn't matter if it was a field, didn't matter. We just thought we'll play whoever's on our schedule. We want to beat you when we do. And if we can make you miserable in the process, we'd be happy to. And then we want to go home. And that's kind of where it was when I came in. I'm sure that's how it was in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, so on and so forth. And obviously they're continuing that still. So it's just a rhythm. And it's, I think it's just habits.
All right, Trev, let's get into the current iteration of the Delaware Blue Hens and the Bison and talk about the matchup in a little bit. But right now I want to play our interview with Ben Ellison. Ben is a senior captain, the leader of this tight end group, and could not honestly be prouder of Noah and Josh and the job that these young kids are doing. So let's play that interview with Ben right now. Here with Bison senior tight end Ben Ellison. Ben, how are we doing?
Good.
So you missed the first game with some lower body stuff. How's that specific injury feeling after this week, and how do you feel after finally? Because you didn't get a lot of smashing in during fall camp. You didn't have a lot of contact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after that, obviously didn't play in the first game. Kind of actually feeling pretty good after this first game. The second game, you know, against UND. I think I took probably the most reps that I ever have in a game before, and so. Not on a lot of practices and things like that, so it's definitely pretty sore, upper body, everywhere else, but feeling good, kind of recovering still, and get ready for week three.
How much did your role change then as far as becoming, because this is your fifth year in the program, and you have a very talented but very inexperienced group because of guys like Nate Jensen and Connor Wentz and Jeff Ilias, guys, you know, were getting plenty of snaps in front of Josh and Noah and the rest of the guys. What was your role like in getting these kids ready? Because not only did they dominate against UND, they dominated against Butler.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, they've been doing really well playing at a high level. And so just kind of throughout fall camp, you know, was just trying to help them with the mental things a little bit, you know. I'm not coaching, but, like, helping them see different things like that, just doing the best I can. And they pick all that stuff up really, really well. They're smart kids, you know. I think Noah got like a 34 in his ACT, so yeah, he's smarter than I am, you know. But no, they're doing well, and my role is just kind of to help facilitate that and kind of get the mental reps and things like that as fall camp went along.
So with those guys, how much time got spent in the off season kind of adding that kind of stuff into the playbook? Because what I've noticed is, like Coach Ant said in his press conference, the things that drove him nuts were the versatility of guys in that position of the tight ends, where you come out and you guys might say 23 or 13 personnel to the defense, but all of a sudden Josh is in the slot or Josh is flexed and you're playing fullback or whatever. I mean, how many different spots are you guys all capable of playing, and how much time got put into that this offseason?
I would say quite a bit, but I would also say that that's kind of how our room has always been. You know, we know a lot of the offense, I would say. The Z, the X, we coach role tries to make that an emphasis, a point of emphasis when we're learning it, like in our second and third years, you know, especially with spring ball, things are a little bit slower. And so understanding the whole offense as a whole, I think has helped us in the long run, learning that early. And I don't think that's been any more of a point of emphasis. Maybe we're doing a little bit more now with it, but I think it's that mentality or that mental part of it has always kind of been there, just now putting it to onto the field, you know.
Could you see this coming in years prior? I mean, have Noah and Josh kind of been killing people on scout team, or could you see this coming?
When they were on scout team, you know, we'd hear a bunch of oohs and ahs and stuff from the defense on the other end, and we knew that, like, Babich or Gindy had made a play, and then we would go and watch it later on in film or whatever, and they had made some one-handed catch, you know. So I think a lot of people knew that there was going to be high expectations, that they were going to be really good. They've obviously pushed me a lot, just, you know, even the first two games, you know, if not my whole career that they've been here as well. So it's been good to have them stepping up here.
Who's a young tight end that maybe Bison fans don't have the name yet or haven't heard of or seen on the field even?
I would say Hunter Lucky. He's not so much of a tight end. He's more of a fullback. He's kind of like the Brock Robbins. You know, he's very versatile in the backfield and really, really good speed. And just he gets it. He's starting to get it as well. He's a redshirt freshman, so still kind of new to it all. But he's going to be playing at a high level, so look out for him.
What have you guys seen on tape from Delaware? What is your expectation of this week?
They're going to be physical. I remember last year they were physical. They're going to put a lot of guys in the box. And so just being able to run the ball, you know, I think last week they haven't even given up 100 yards rushing this year in their first two games or whatever. So I think that's going to be a point of emphasis, being able to run the ball, you know, and as well as pass it like we have, you know, just being very versatile in our game.
All right, thanks. Yeah. I want to thank the North Dakota State Sports Information Department for making Ben available, and obviously thank Ben for his time. Thought he did a really good job there, and I hope Bison fans enjoyed that interview. Like we said, Trev, two performances, I would say, against Delaware State and Rhode Island that do not give you a tremendous sense of confidence that Delaware is going to be able to consistently compete with North Dakota State. They just, it really seems like they're in a tough spot because, you know, and the transitive property of football doesn't always apply, but boy, it just seems like they haven't played teams that are as good as North Dakota State is. And they have struggled to, you know, even put those teams away with, a triple overtime victory against Rhode Island and a competitive game against Delaware State. Now, they won by plenty, but if you're going to beat the Bison, to be honest, you need to knock the crap out of Delaware State, and they didn't. This is a 28.5-point spread right now. So, basically, Vegas is saying that it's a UND-esque matchup, with the only exception being that Delaware is probably getting 3 or 4 extra points for the Bison having to travel. What have you seen from this team, and specifically, because I think the one guy that everybody always wants to talk about is Pat Kehoe. He's, I think, to be nice, was a statue a season ago, not a guy that was going to stress you with his legs, but Ants mentioned, and I'll be brutally honest, I'll watch a little bit of Delaware before I write the preview, but I haven't yet. This is something that Ants has said, that Kehoe looks slimmer and that he looks a little bit more athletic, and that it seems like they're going to give him a chance to run the ball a little bit. He did have 6 yards per carry, scored a touchdown against Delaware State, I believe, but Not a threat. He's not going to beat any of the second level athletes for North Dakota State in the open field. Not Jackson Hankey, not Merck, not Jabril, certainly. This is a guy that's going to stay in the pocket in the same way I think that Andrew Zimmerman did for UND, and he's going to have to try and deliver good passes, because it's not a team that is going to be able to, I think, run the ball a ton. When you only have 180 rushing yards against Delaware State, you're the Bison, you are not.
So, I mean, when I look at it, I haven't seen any of their tape. I mean, obviously I don't have access to that. But, I mean, just looking at some of their numbers throughout these two games so far, other than just like the quick box score check and about the simplest form of an eye test that you can have, I mean, they're 2-for-6 in red zone touchdowns, which is not quality football, especially against – I can understand the conference foe. They understand your schemes and your personnel a little bit more than most. But when you have two games and one of those against Delaware State, 2-for-6 is not quality execution in my mind. I don't see any hype about one particular player like we had David Johnson at Northern Iowa. I believe it was Kurt Hess was the quarterback at Youngstown that was pretty good back then. And then the running back at was it Shakir Bell? Was that Indiana State? Is that his name?
Oh, yes. Yep.
I mean, so those guys, I mean, even though like Indiana State, for example, they weren't the most quality of opponent, and probably not even as good as this Delaware team, to be honest. They had – each of those teams had a dude on the team. They had an all-conference type guy. You know, obviously David Johnson being a quality pro guy, but I don't see that from Delaware. I don't see anything that says they gel well together right now. I don't think they're there yet. Sometimes teams can rise to occasions. They play down to their opponents and they play up to their opponents. I guess that would be the only thing that we haven't seen from this Delaware squad yet. And if they play the Bison tough Saturday, maybe that's them. Maybe they're an up and down team and inconsistent. But for me to look at something to give a worrisome in terms of, okay, this could be a trap game, I don't foresee that. The only thing that could derail NDSU this Saturday, in my opinion, is a young group not focused being the first time on the road. But again, the culture and how everything is approached there is different. And that's where I'm not high on the Blue Hens. Not bullish on them doing anything shocking.
All right, we're going to get to our game prediction here in just a bit. But we want to round out our trio of tight ends by talking to Noah Gindorf. And if you are a BRTV watcher, boy, we sure appreciate that. And this is going to be the exact same interview that you just watched. But if you want to skip ahead about 7 minutes and catch our game prediction, that'd be awesome. Otherwise, re-listen to what Noah said. That it was a great interview. It had nothing to do with me. I thought the kid was really insightful, and he actually he already got told on by Ben. But, boy, that ACT score sure is something. We'll listen to that right now.
You're the Bison sophomore tight end, Noah Gindorf. Noah, how's it going?
Not too bad.
What were the first two games like? You were obviously a very highly touted recruit, had an opportunity to play in the Big Ten, chose to play here at North Dakota State. Kind of legendary as far as you and Josh and what you guys did on scout team. That was always something that got brought up, that you guys gave the ones some trouble. So what was it finally like to be under the lights?
Yeah, I mean, last year playing, you know, a little bit towards the end of games and stuff, and now this year finally getting to, you know, be out there that first play of the game, and adrenaline's running high. It's pretty special. You know, we got great fans who are always going to be cheering loud for us, and it's just, you know, there's really nothing else like it running out there on that field.
Do you feel that? Because I'm sure when you were a younger player, it was a lot of, man, I should be out there. I want to play. But do you feel now that you're in your third year, do you feel like it was good?
Yeah.
To sit? I mean, do you feel like, okay, now I actually am ready. I can tell that maybe I wasn't before.
Yeah. I mean, just because, you know, make a couple plays on the scout team definitely does not mean that you're ready to go out there and execute our own plays on a daily basis. And, you know, it takes a while to build that trust, having T-Roll be able to trust us, and also the O-linemen and the quarterbacks, everyone has to be able to trust us. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on us. There's a big playbook for us to learn. A lot of different looks can, you know, change our assignment on any given play, so it's a lot to take in. And I feel like now I'm really confident in what we're doing, and just taking the extra time to, you know, put on some weight, build strength. Just, you know, kind of give myself more of a football body and just being able to go out there and execute.
Because do I have it correct that you were a quarterback in high school?
Yes.
To talk to me a little bit about that. You get on campus. It was clear to you in the recruiting process that tight end was the goal, right? That's what they had pitched to you or whatever. So how does Tyler Roll kind of take you under his wing? How do the upperclassmen take you under their wing? And just how much of a learning curve was there? I mean, did they have to teach you how to block? Did, you know, or were some of the things, maybe positions you had played when you were younger, played when Crosby Arrington needed you to?
You know, there's, like, I mean, you could have done it in high school, and you still come here, and, you know, we do things
relearn
a totally different way. Yeah. Just, like, the amount of technique and, you know, preciseness that T-Roll puts into our technique and the pride that we take in it is a big learning curve. And, you know, they're tough on us. The older guys and T-Roll are tough on us, but, you know, that's going to help us in the end. And they're patient, and just took a while to get there. But, you know, we eventually got there and were able to get some of that technique down.
How much do you have to kind of have your head on a swivel when you play with a guy like Trey Lance? Are you, you know, not only just when you're blocking for him and you don't want to get run up his back like happened to Ben, but even second reaction breaks, because I would assume that there are times in practice and times in the game where a play breaks down and you have to do something that makes sense with whatever Trey is doing with his feet, whether he's got his eyes downfield looking for you or decides to tuck and run.
Yeah, you know, he's a really good athlete, and he's gonna find a way to make a play. And there's, you know, sometimes in practice where he'll be trying to block a guy and he'll kind of study your feet, and all of a sudden he'll just go ripping by you. And I mean, he's just a phenomenal athlete. And you know, you're running a route, you might have to snap your eyes around a little bit faster, because that he's gonna huck that thing in there and it's gonna put some heat on it. And
has he broken or jammed any fingers yet?
Just one.
Okay.
Just one. But you know, yeah, I mean, he's a great athlete, and this is a great job of extending plays so far. And you know, we practice stuff like scramble drill and all that, and just finishing blocking to the whistle, just always just trying to finish the play.
How much time got spent this offseason kind of installing the different packages? Because I feel like you and Josh and Ben all bring different things to the table, but at the same time, you're pretty interchangeable. You know, if you're going to play you or Y, I think that's fine. And Josh can kind of play the same, and Ben obviously can do anything, you know, that a tight end can do. How much do you think that messes with defensive coordinators? Coach Inch said that the reason they like all this 13 personnel, all this 12 personnel, is he hated it when he was a defensive coordinator.
It definitely does put a lot of stress on the defense, and at the same time, it puts a lot of stress on us. You got to be able to learn, you know, your own blocking positions down in the core, and then you have to be able to split outside and know all the routes and blocking techniques out there and everything. So, you know, it is a lot for us to handle, but, you know, me, Josh, and Ben, I think we're all very capable of handling it.
Ben told on you, so you got a 34 on your ACT. Is that real?
Yes.
Wow. So how much does that translate to your ability to pick up the offense?
You know, I think I picked it up fairly well. You know, I understand it probably wouldn't be as easy for everyone, but, you know, there's a big difference between football knowledge and school knowledge.
Sure.
So,
yeah. Two questions, and then we'll wrap it up here. Which touchdown was cooler? The one in Butler, because that was your first, was it not?
Mm-hmm.
Or the one against UND where it was at home, in-state rival, and you just shook guys. You know, guys were bouncing off you. Mm-hmm. It looked pretty awesome on TV.
Man, I couldn't really pick a favorite. The two each had their own kind of special thing. One, you know, my first catch ever in Minneapolis, and I had, like, the whole section almost behind the upright was my family.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I got to catch the touchdown, and then I pointed out to my family, so that was really cool. But then, you know, first catch and first score in the dome, it was a cool play in a big game, and I mean, they both had special things.
Was that a second reaction play, because Trey was kind of stepping up in the pocket there to find you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a read it out route, where if it's man, I'll run out of it. If it's zone, I'll sit. And I was sitting there, and I knew I was open, and but I'm like one of the last reads, so I was sitting there getting kind of anxious, and then I saw Trey finally found me, and I was able to just make a play.
Last question. Any truth to the rumor that Coach Roll has skewed his playbook towards his position group?
I don't know about that one. I can't say whether or not that's true. But he does. I mean, he trusts us. He knows what we're capable of, and he knows that given an opportunity, we're going to make a play. So it's nice, you know, mixing it up in the playbook and just being able to keep defenses on edge is pretty fun.
All right. Thanks, man.
No problem.
We want to thank the NDSU Sports Information Department for making Noah available, and obviously thank Noah for his time. Yeah, I for sure knew I wasn't the smartest kid in the room when he told me that he got a 34. Well, Ben already told me he got a 34, but he had confirmed that. Trev, you have a 34 on your ACT?
You got to subtract just a few points. Yeah, no. Let's leave it at that.
No doubt. But, yeah, what an impressive athlete. What an impressive kid. Like I said, Trev, we're looking at a 28.5, 27.5 point line. Bison team, new head coach, first true road game for a freshman quarterback. What are we thinking?
Trey Lance is very poised. He's very smart, and he seems very level-headed. I've said it a few times. I've never had the chance to meet the kid, but I don't think it takes long to figure out that he's a special cat. I'm thinking along the lines of like a 48-13. I think some hype about this game with Delaware and being excited, being at home, hosting a number one reigning national champs. I think they might get a score early because of that. And that's really going to be about it, because I don't think they're going to start off the same way they did last year. They'll probably learn from that. But I think this Bison offense will be focused. The passing game is extremely efficient, best in the country right now. So I think they get it lighted up early, and I think they score over 40 this week. So, yeah, I'm going to go 48-13.
Yeah, I'm going to say that Delaware covers. I've got 37-10. That's what I'm going to go with. So obviously a couple of field goals there for probably Griffin Crosa, but I think this Delaware defense comes to play a little bit. I think the Bison skitter out of the gates maybe just a touch, something like 10-3 or 10-0 after one quarter, and then they wear down Delaware and the floodgates open. Not completely dissimilar to how things went against North Dakota with that second quarter, or, you know, kind of that answer touchdown to the UND touchdown. That was, I think, when the hammer got put down. And the, you know, UND goes down and scores. NDSU answers with the touchdown, and UND understands it. Okay, not our day. And I think at some point Delaware is going to understand that it's not their day either. So 37-10 is my prediction. Guys, thank you so much for listening. If you're still with us, we really appreciate you listening to the whole show. The number one way that you can support me and Trevor in this venture is by becoming a VIP subscriber. We've got fantastic specials on that for you right now. If you head on over to Bison Report, you'll find 30% off of an annual pass. You're looking at about $6 a month, or one combo meal at Mickey D's, whatever $6 means to you. I promise it means a ton to us. Or if you want to go the monthly route, which you can cancel anytime, we're going to give you that first month for $1, and it's going to be $9.99 after that. Like I said, cancel anytime. You want to bounce after football season, come back in the summer. Sounds great. We appreciate anything that you guys do. The second way that you can support this show specifically would be to leave a 5-star rating, which we, of course, appreciate, and write a little review for us. Let us know where we need to get better. Let us know what you like about the show, and we would really appreciate that. Thank you, Trev. Thanks, everybody. Go Bison.